When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon. Today's episode is focused on one man, Hunter Dickinson, and his decision to enter the NBA draft after his freshman season at Michigan. Why did he go this route, and what comes next for him and Michigan basketball? We discuss on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be back. Thanks for holding down the fort in my absence.
Glad you're back.
Yeah, nice trip back home to New York. Got to a Mets game at Citi Field.
Oh, the New York Metropolitan.
I was going to ask if you went to a Nets or Knicks game. I didn't even think about the Mets, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, were the Nets home too? Maybe they were. I don't know. I'm not a huge NBA fan, as you know, and Knicks tickets were just absurd. I guess Nets tickets may be a little easier to come by, but, you know, the major indoor sporting event, maybe not quite ready for that yet, but yeah, sitting outside. It was the only game the Mets lost in the series to the Rockies, but so be it.
So I assume you didn't see DeGrom pitch?
He was the next night, of course. I mean, it was, you know, I got the tickets at the, you know, weeks ago, so it was a complete guess. And, you know, then DeGrom goes on the injured list, and then they announce it. Then I was like, oh, he could actually return for my game, but of course it was the game after. But what are you gonna do? Yeah, the Mets are just completely depleted roster. They have a little lineup. They have like these giant baseball cards when you walk in the main rotunda with today's lineup. They hadn't bothered updating it from the previous home game, which was not the night before. It was 2 weeks before. They were just on a long road trip. It had all those players. And then if it's like a new call up or something, they don't have their picture yet. So it's just, they just put the Mets logo. So there were two of those from the last one. And if they had updated for that game, there would have been, you know, even more, because just all these random players they have. So it's kind of funny, but still first place New York Mets. All right. So yeah, we're talking Hunter Dickinson today. As earlier this week, he declared for the NBA draft. He kind of waited till the, if not the buzzer, you know, we were in the final 2 minutes of the game here with the deadline approaching. I don't know. The fact that he did it surprise either of you guys? Because it wasn't a huge shock for me that he's declared, at least. He's a Big Ten freshman of the year.
It was a surprise at the very beginning when I first like started reading it, but then I realized that the rule changed where you can still declare for the NBA draft and leave the eligibility door open for you for yourself. Right. So, yes and no. I mean, I guess it makes sense to me. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was actually looking, and there's like 60 players that have entered that are projected to go undrafted. So, I mean, it's a large pool right now. So, I mean, I assume he's not going to be there's going to be guys that decide to return to school. But yeah, to do it this late, it's like, all right, I mean, what changed from, I don't know, a couple weeks ago till now for him to do it just before the deadline? But yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't really hurt for him to test the waters a little bit and maybe get a little bit of feedback and know more what he has to work on in this terms of NBA scouts heading into his sophomore year.
Let's be clear too. Like this, I think this is a good move. And this is a recent rule change, but I'm glad the NBA is allowing this, where guys can kind of go in and test the waters and get feedback and the like. Because before, correct me if I'm wrong, but like if you declared, you couldn't come back, right?
Well, it depends how far we're going back. I mean, they've made rule changes over the years. The most recent one was, it was 2019, was the change that you can actually hire an agent. I mean, it has to be an NCAA certified agent. And there was some, you know, controversy over that initially. But if you hire one of those, you can actually have them, you know, act as any agent would for you, in which they, you know, they can pay for your trips to meet them, to meet with teams for workouts, you know, meals and lodging and all that during that time. And then you make your decision. You're going to stick with them and stay in the draft, or are you going to cut ties and go back to school and then, you know, revisit it again the next year? So, you know, that's something the NCAA did because they felt it was maybe going on anyway to a certain extent, these sort of, you know, handshake deals that, you know, where guys kind of had agents, but, you know, were you know, when they couldn't because they'd lose their eligibility. So, yeah, it's interesting. You know, you say why not? And I hear you on that, but it's still a process. You're still, you don't do it just to do it. Like, I don't think he's doing this unless he thinks there's a chance he might stay in the draft and enter the league. So, you know, that's the thing. Like, Michigan could certainly lose him, but, you know, Ryan's point about 60 plus players, you know, in this draft that are projected to go undrafted. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be underclassmen who stay in the draft and don't get picked. It happens every year. You know, I think it'll be, you know, Dickinson in particular. He'll get his feedback. He'll see where he's projected to go. He probably won't get invited to the NBA draft combine. And these things will be not red flags, but they'll be indicators that, oh, well, I'm probably maybe not going to get picked then. And now's not the time for me to enter.
And for him too, I feel like, I mean, what he did his freshman year and with how much Michigan is losing next year, I mean, he was an important piece to last year's team, but he's going to be even more of a focal point if he comes back and have more of an opportunity to hone in different parts of his game and take on a bigger role too, and probably improve his draft stock with a sophomore season too. So, I mean, that's another thing that for me, it's like, it would, I mean, it's hard to say because I'm not in the room with him and getting his feedback, but it would make sense to me that if he does return and improve his stock a little bit and build off what he was able to do as a freshman.
Do we think that, I don't know, do we think maybe his draft stock has suddenly risen in the last few weeks, months at all? I mean, is there a surprise behind the curtain that we don't know about, you think?
No, I don't think anything's changed since the season ended. A scout I had talked to, you know, I reached out to, you know, a few earlier in the month, you know, about Franz Wagner, and then, you know, Michigan seniors who had decided to leave, Isaiah Livers, Shawnee Brown, Mike Smith. You know, Hunter Dickinson, I didn't really ask about because he hadn't declared, and it didn't seem like he was going to. You know, one scout at the end of the call then asked me, he's like, you know, what are you hearing about Dickinson? You think he's staying? And then he, you know, he tells me that's what he had been hearing, that he was, you know, staying in school from his camp, you know, his family and coaches, people back in the Washington D.C. area, you know, and he's like, that seems like the right move. You know, he'll develop under Juwan and all that, you know. But he also said, listen, we've talked about how the NBA is moving, you know, basketball in general, you know, it's moving to, if not positionless basketball, you know, as many guys on the floor as possible that can shoot and dribble and pass. And Dickinson just didn't show off all those things this year. He's capable. You know, he's got good touch. He was a good foul shooter this year. He's a good passer, but he took 4 3-pointers, college threes, and he didn't make any of them. So it's like, from that perspective, okay, you want to see more of that. At the same time, you know, there are plenty of backup bigs in this league who are just physical, you know, low post players. I mean, I know the game is moving towards that, but there's still always going to be a place in the NBA for, you know, more of just a traditional 7-footer, if you will. So it's interesting. I mean, like, is he ready for the NBA now? Yes. Could he stand to spend another year under Juwan Howard's tutelage? Yes. Like, both those things are true, I think. So it'll be interesting. His age is another thing to look at. He'll be 21 on November 25th, okay? So, you know, he stays in school, you know, just a few weeks into the season, he'll be able to go get a drink at Garage Bar. So that's where he's at. So he's 20 and a half right now. Go look at, like, the mock drafts for this year and look at the age of guys, and it's more like 19 and a half. I mean, Franz will turn 20 in late August. So, you know, he's almost a full year older than a guy who's already got 2 years of college under his belt. Now, again, Franz is young for his class, but still, you know, guys that age typically aren't getting picked, like, in the lottery. Now, again, he doesn't need to go in the lottery to feel like it's worth attention to the draft, but it's just interesting. Like, they say he's not getting any younger. It's crazy to think about, you know, a 21-year-old, you know, thinking of as old, but for NBA draft standards, yes, he is. So that's another thing to look at.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so much of the NBA draft now, and we've talked about this in the past, is NBA teams drafting an upside. I mean, they're drafting guys who may not necessarily be ready for the NBA yet, or maybe they just don't know, but they're talented enough. They feel like they, if they give them a year or two to develop, they can turn into, you know, blossom into a you know, a rotational guy or a starter. And I wonder what, again, we don't know, but I wonder what NBA teams think about Hunter Dickinson right now. I mean, is, you know, had Dickinson, had this been his like senior year, he was out of eligibility, had to go to the NBA draft, you have no choice. I wonder where he would have ended up. And I think that's where I'm most curious right now, where he stands with things. Because look, if he goes in the second round, say he's a second round pick right now at this point, or even, you know, a fringe first round guy, you know, what is his ceiling? Where do they think he can end up? Because you mentioned his, you know, inability or struggle shooting from the outside the perimeter. How much better can he get? How much more can he increase his draft stock? Is, I guess, my question.
Yeah, I think he can. I think, because I think that's could be part of his game. I don't think it's like, yeah, that's never going to be there. Like, you look at his, you know, free throw percentage, you look at, you know, what he did, you know, at the prep level, and you're like, okay, there's, that could be part of his game. You know, as far as, you know, what Ryan was saying about, you know, if he comes back and his role on this team, Michigan loses Franz Wagner. They lose Isaiah Livers. They lose Mike Smith. Those are three of their starters. They lose Shaundi Brown, like kind of their top reserve. There are going to be shots to be had in this offense. I mean, he was already their leading scorer and leading rebounder, but I think even more offensively will fall on him because, you know, so many, you'll have Eli Brooks back, but he's not a high volume guy to start with. So the rest of these guys you're filling in are going to be several freshmen will be, you know, worked into this rotation. And, you know, obviously Dickinson was a freshman last year and Jawan had no problem playing through him, but it'll just be interesting. He'll definitely be, I think, get even more touches and even more freedom offensively this year if he stays. I just think it's a huge decision that he's going to make for himself, but for Michigan, because, you know, he comes back, he's Big Ten preseason player of the year potentially. He's, you know, first team preseason All-American maybe, and he's just an anchor for this team that loses a lot. He doesn't come back.
Ooh,
I mean, now who's you're losing Austin Davis too. You know, now you've got, you know, Musa, you know, Diabate coming in. I mean, he's a top 20 recruit, 6'10", but he's more right now of just a kind of shot blocker, energy, rebounding guy. He's not like a play through him in the post yet. He's a little raw offensively, as they say. So I don't know. I just think you like him a lot more coming off the bench and seeing what you got from him than like you're our day one starter. And you don't have to go that route. You can go small right from the start with Brandon Johns Jr. You could, you know, you can try other things, but man, it's a nice luxury to have if he comes back.
Is there any bigs left in the transfer portal?
Yeah. So that's the other thing. I mean, like, we're kind of late in that game, right? Like, it's, you know, yes is the answer to your question, but that's on today. That's May 28th. Like, his decision doesn't have to come till July 7th. Like, by then, you know, freshmen have reported to campus and, you know, we're getting going with some summer workouts and, you know, the season's just a few months away. Like, I don't know, that's pretty late in the game, but you know, Michigan's got an idea of what he's thinking. You know, you'd think that they're expecting to get him back. Like, I don't think this decision caught them by surprise, but like I said, you don't just enter the NBA draft just to do it, just for the feedback. Cause his head coach is Juwan Howard. Like, he can get some feedback without going through this formal process. So I think by doing it, like he said, his dream is to play in the NBA, and he looks forward to the feedback he receives to see what his next step will be. But I think the wording of his statement was very important. He made sure to say, I'm getting an NCAA certified agent to retain my eligibility. This is the next step in my process, not a farewell. But not, I'm just dipping my toes. It's, you know, it was very, I want to eventually get drafted. Might happen this year. I don't know. But this is a next step to take to get there. So we'll see how it all works out. I don't know. Prediction. What do you think? What do you think? You think he ends up staying at Michigan or staying in the draft?
I'm just really curious about what the NBA thinks of him. Just because we haven't seen his name on any mock drafts. Like, right. Franz was on there because everyone kind of assumed he was leaving. And my question is, was Hunter not on those mock drafts because folks assumed he was coming back, or because they didn't see him in the top two rounds in a draft. And if that's the case, I find that hard to believe. So that's, I wonder where he stands. So that's, I would like to know that before I made a prediction. But like the fact that he has hired an agent and is declared for the draft signals to me that he's probably thinking about more so going than staying. But I really don't know. And that's this, I think decision is interesting just because I think most of the time we have an idea of what a player is going to do, or you kind of go in the offseason with an idea of what's going to happen. And with him, it was a mystery. I think like you said, everyone assumed he was coming back because there was no announcement or anything. His name wasn't on a board. And now that's kind of changed. So I'd be curious to see where he ends up with some of these mock drafts.
I mean, yeah, I think Andrew mentioned in his story today that, I mean, he's not even listed among ESPN's top 100 prospects. I mean, that's quite outside the range there. I know maybe some experts thought he was staying and didn't consider him maybe for a top 100 spot. But, I mean, someone with his skill set and still, I mean, yeah, he's an older freshman, but with how many years of eligibility he has and the type of role he could take on next year, I mean, I think it's just too much of an opportunity to come back. I think he'll come back and try and improve his stock and maybe head into the draft after next season. But again, it's tough to say, but if I had to pick one right now, I'd say he'll return to Ann Arbor this year.
It's a great point that, you know, both of you make about, was he not getting that serious look because, you know, by these draft experts because of, you know, the fact that, you know, they assumed he was staying. Like, That will be interesting to watch if all of a sudden now he just gets more, you know, more attention paid to him and, oh, let's see where he fits in this now that he's officially declared that. But I don't know. I just went on, you know, that ESPN list that, you know, I did mention in my story, you know, all right, let me go to see their prospects, you know, 76 through 100 here on their last page. And, you know, Drew Timmy is on there from Gonzaga. And he, you know, he just announced he's coming back and he announced he's coming back, you know, but just because there was some speculation, you know, I actually expected Hunter Dickinson to make that similar announcement if that's what he was doing. Like anytime you're being considered for it, it seems like these days you make the announcement that you're coming back. So like, you know, he had never declared is my point. So in a way he was in the same boat as Hunter Dickinson and yet he was listed here. Like he was on ESPN's list because he was draft eligible, you know, and they viewed him as, you know, in this case, number 77. So, yeah, I mean, I would think he was being considered for this list because he hadn't said he was coming back and he's draft eligible. But now that he's actually gone that step to declare, it'll be interesting to see if he gets, you know, if he gets even more look on here. But we'll see. Yeah, we said we were talking, you know, pretty much just Hunter Dickinson in this episode, and that was obviously the main focus. But there's been a little bit of football news we can drop in because it's important to people. It's kickoff times for games that hopefully, you know, some of these people will be able to attend this season. And yeah,
boring.
We already knew this. This is important. What time the game starts? Kidding me?
Oh yeah, it matters. Believe me, I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten in the past from folks either mad or happy about a certain start time.
Absolutely. So run it down for us, Aaron. What do we got? We know what the first three or four games now, yes?
Yeah, we know the first four times, kickoff times at least. Okay. Now, announcements came out Thursday. The Big Ten and their TV partners released kickoff times and TV networks. Michigan's home opener against Western Michigan, September 4th in Ann Arbor, is a noon kickoff. I guess that's not too big of a surprise.
Yeah, buddy.
It's going to air on now. It's going to air on ESPN. So, I mean, I guess that's not a big surprise for Michigan fans, but, you know, given the caliber of the opponent, and that's, you know, not a knock at Western Michigan, but, you know, the MAC typically doesn't get treated very well in some of these big, you know, non-conference games, but they're going to get an ESPN September 4th. We already knew the September 11th game against Washington is a night game, 7:30 on ABC. That was announced a few weeks ago. But we did also get a start time for the September 18th. Non-conference game against Northern Illinois. That's also a home game. It's going to be noon again on Big Ten Network. And then we got a kickoff time for Michigan's Big Ten opener against Rutgers, also at home in Ann Arbor. That's going to be a 3:30 p.m. game. No TV has been announced for that one. It probably won't be decided until, you know, a week to 2 weeks out. Probably given, obviously it'll depend kind of where Michigan is at that point, if they're 3-0 or they're 2-1. I think it's going to matter. So yeah, so we got those first four games, kickoff times are determined. And we already knew the Ohio State game to close the season, November 27th, is a noon game on Fox. So, yeah, five of the 12 games we have kickoff times for. More to come. Typically, the rest of the slate, you know, we got road games at Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan State, Penn State. Those won't be determined until probably anywhere from 7 to 10 to 14 days out. I would not be surprised if there's another night game in there somewhere. Wink, wink, Penn State probably, because, you know, we know the TV networks love showing Michigan at night.
Look out for those great Chiano Starlet Nights, man.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. We'll probably get into this more in the offseason as we get into their opponents and the Big Ten slate as a whole. But like, what Rutgers is recruiting well. We saw what they did last year under Chiano. They're not I know folks don't want to hear this, but they're probably not going to be a cakewalk anymore. You know, that's not to say they're going to win the Big Ten East. It's very competitive, but Rutgers, look out for them the next couple of years. They're recruiting, as we know, as we've seen reports, you know, they just landed the number one player in the state of New Jersey. Seattle's starting to beef up recruiting there. Scarlet Knights are going to be for real here probably next couple of years.
We should get just a cross-section of kind of the fan base or of attendees of games to see what they prefer. You've got the college kids. I feel like they don't like noon probably. I mean, 3:30 maybe is good because, I don't know, maybe they prefer night, but that's just a long – long day. Maybe you love it at kickoff, but by the second half, maybe not so much. Plus,
they probably like the idea of a night game, but then once the game hits like 10, 11 o'clock, hold out, then it's like, well, I don't know about that, you know?
All right.
3:30s were always my favorite. I mean, you don't have to wake up early to start pre-gaming, and then you can just go right into the nighttime partying right afterwards. But
3:30, you said?
Yeah, 3:30 was
agreed.
I like noon, up early drinking at like 8 a.m. And then
like 3:30. These kids are up late the night before. They don't want to be getting up early to start drinking. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I was different, I guess.
Yeah.
You're still different.
You've got like, you know, the 70-year-old season ticket holders. You got, you know, the families. You got the, now we'll lump it into, you know, people working the game, whether they're, you know, event team members or media members like ourselves.
Folks forget, like, folks working the game or they're at the stadium all day. That's an all day thing. I mean, the game might be 4 hours or 3.5 hours long, but like folks there, I mean, especially for us, we're there, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours at least. I mean, it's a long day.
That's why I don't really mind the night games anymore. Cause like I get a little more time at home, and then like the 3:30 ones, it's wiping out the whole night for me anyway, because done at 7 maybe, but no, that's when the game ends, but then there's so much to be done. By the time I get back, everyone's like asleep and done anyway. So it's, I don't know. If you want to watch other games though, that's a factor. Then maybe noon is best, especially with so many of the night games being, the better games being at night now. You know, you can maybe catch the end of those 3:30 games and then settle in for primetime games once your work's done. So yeah, it's a whole.
That's always the ideal slot for me. And now as a reporter, is get that noon slot in, working right until like 7, 8, and settle in for those nighttime showdowns, baby.
Now, even better, since we're in the, you know, the Big Ten slate and we get the central time zone involved, Michigan's got road games this year at Wisconsin and Nebraska, both of which from the central time zone. Michigan's had noon games at Wisconsin before, which start 11 a.m. local time. That's even better for me. I love that. But again, that you guys probably disagree.
Yeah, go away.
I mean, whatever. But yeah, hopefully they'll be fans of these games. Again, you know, the state has cleared the path for there to be fans here. You know, Michigan has not said officially what they're going to do, but you know, again, things keep changing. But I would expect to see, you know, close to a full big house, how that factors in with, you know, people being vaccinated or masked or whatever, yet to be seen. But
judging by every single one of Michigan's assistants tweeting, I think yesterday, 100 days till we pack the big house, then it's sounding like it will be quite a few fans there. But again, we'll see.
Yeah, if things continue trending the way they are with, you know, vaccine numbers going up and case counts going down, I would be shocked if the big house isn't full this, or at least allowed to be full this fall. I can't guarantee every game's gonna be a sellout, especially with given how the team's doing. But anyway, I think it's gonna be full.
It is so much more enjoyable, like with fans. I mean, some of these NHL playoff game atmospheres, like the Knicks atmosphere, it's like, man, oh, it feels good again to see these fans and see the crowds into the game. I mean, it just completely changes the whole dynamic of the actual sporting event. So it's good to see.
As someone who's covered sports for a long time professionally and been in, you know, full arenas and packed crowds and the like, I think one of the moments I will never forget is being at Michigan's season opener last fall at Minnesota, where the stadium was virtually empty. You know, they allowed, you know, parents of players and the like in. So maybe I think there are like 400 or 500 people there. But like, it was weird going to an empty stadium where you could literally park next to the front door, the front gate, and just walk right in. And then just, there's no one there. It was surreal. It was weird. It was almost like you're in like a zombie movie or something, you know? It was, but yeah, I agree. I can't wait. It'll be fun just to be in that environment again, having to dodge fans after the game or in the press conference and the like. It's, you know, I don't know. It's what you're used to, you know? That's what makes sports so great, is obviously the play on the field and the emotion and the like, but just the fan interaction and the reaction, I think, is what makes sports so great.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing some of our listeners out at Michigan Stadium this year. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wolverine Confidential.